she should have never asked to go. It had been an innocent enough request, and there was always a chance things might have gone differently, because that was how he was. She always had just as much chance of being surprised as she did of being thrown halfway across the room. All the way across, when she was younger. But she was 16 now, and almost as tall as him. Had it been last Thursday or next Tuesday, or if she'd been wearing yellow, not blue, perhaps he would have simply smoothed the pages of his Sunday Globe and huffed a brusque, "You may." But it was today, and he was him, and his fists had a way of coming out of nowhere before she could even duck. She had discovered recently that a whimper of pain from her mother was a guaranteed trigger for his trademark unpredictable violence. He loathed the sound of weakness, hated that she was frail, as though somehow it reflected poorly on him, on Davis Winston Hastings, to have a sickly wife. Early on, she'd tried to suppress the noise of her misery. But things were worse now, and she could no longer manage it. The malignant thing had become all that there was of her, nestled there between her ribs. And although Catherine was smart enough to know better, she could never quite shake the feeling that he had somehow placed it there, that he had conjured the tumor just to be cruel, just to exert his unyielding authority over them.
"I can make you sick, then punish you for not being well."
Because he was the one in charge, make no mistake about that. He was the one with the name and the money and the manhood, and so he held their whole world in his eager fists. He made the rules, and the rules were everything. Unwritten, unspoken, undeniably understood. Remain at the dinner table until given permission to leave. Earn excellent grades, but never appear smarter than the boys. Appreciate what is given to you, and ask for nothing more. She should have never asked to go. But sometimes the smack did not come. Sometimes the insult went unspoken. Sometimes her meals would not be withheld in the wake of some perceived misbehavior or shortcoming. On some days, he could be utterly indifferent. Some days, he'd return home from work, his trademark pocket square still folded flawlessly, even after a long day at the office, acting as if he were surprised to find Catherine and Meredith there in his house, like two forgotten knickknacks or things caught in a cobweb. He was never gentle, never kind, never good, but praise the Lord in heaven for indifference. Catherine's best days were the ones when he just ignored her. Today, as it turned out, would not be one of those days. "I was invited to stay at Emily Davenport's tonight," she said. "I was hoping I could..." His hand had lashed toward her like lightning, his fingers wrapping around her long, dark ponytail, yanking it hard.
"You don't tell me what you're hoping for. You ask if I will allow it."
Swallowing the degradation, she quickly rephrased the question. "Please, Father, may I stay at Emily's house tonight?" His answer was lost to the sound of a sudden commotion outside. Not an ugly din, like the kind generated by the riots she'd heard about in Harlem last year and Birmingham the year before. No, this was a beautiful upset, a ruckus of unadulterated joy.
"What in holy hell is that?"
he demanded, as if it were her job to know, as if the noisy interruption could somehow be blamed on her. "The circus," she muttered in disgust, because she was sure that was how he would want her to feel about such a garish display. She'd heard that it was in town, but had forgotten until just now, as the parade came unfurling along the perfect Brooksvale Avenue, on which their perfect brick house stood among other perfect brick houses, though theirs was the most perfect by far, because it was his. Perhaps it was the gleeful intrusion of the circus parade that compelled him to increase the duration of his torment. He was usually appeased, or perhaps bored, sooner. But today he held tight until her scalp stung and her face was streaked with tears. Without releasing his hold on her hair, he dragged her toward the open front door. Squinting through the spring shadows that fell across the covered porch, Catherine saw her mother, hardly more than a shadow herself, bundled under woolen blankets on a wicker chaise. She was watching the circus performers file past in the late day sunshine, a roaring, dancing, tumbling rainbow. The music was as irresistible as if they'd hired the Pied Piper himself to lead the band. Catherine wished it would stop. She wished it would never stop. It was at once too lovely and too strange, and it did not belong here, dancing and cartwheeling through her humiliation.